Mics are live.
Did you say we are going to broadcast?
Yes.
We're broadcasting?
Okay. Yes.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. It is 1:32, I believe, p.m. On February 5th, 2020. I'm Commissioner Brian Crosius, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchek and Commissioner Randy Christman. This is a work session on case number PU-19-189 and PU-19-190, Coyote Creek Mining Company. I don't have any opening comments, Commissioner Fedorchek.
I don't either.
Okay, and Commissioner Christman, I'm going to turn it over to you as the portfolio holder, and could staff introduce themselves really quickly for the record?
Sure. Dean Most just stepped out of the room, but he'll be back shortly. And I'm John Hsu with PSC staff.
Zanna Brinkman, PSC staff.
Bruce Beachy with the PSC staff.
Guy Welch, PSC staff.
Commissioner Christman?
Well, first, because I'll probably forget or neglect to do it at the end, hats off to our staff. These five have put in more hours working on this because it is complex. There's so many issues that were brought up during that hearing, and making sure that we're addressing everything, and it is important that the things that were brought up be addressed, and they have put in, I can't even hardly imagine to count up all the hours. I don't think I want to know. But done a really good job, and I've gone through it multiple times and asked for alterations or changes or proposed ideas. Some of them, probably most of them bad, hopefully a few of them useful. But they've done a great job. So what we ended up with, and it was originally on the agenda for our regular meeting this morning, but it just didn't seem like there was quite adequate time to make sure that the three of us had time to evaluate it and really let it bake and make sure it was done and done appropriately. So we delayed it. We're on a bit of a time crunch. The law requires us to make a decision within 30 days, so which runs out this weekend. And so here we are at this work session. Hopefully we can kind of get it pretty close to being guidance for staff to, I'm hopeful of having a special meeting maybe on Friday or something, but let's work through it. And as we do, so there should be two versions out, and I don't know that they're numbered, but the biggest difference between the two is, you recall after the informal hearing, when we approved revision 9 and the renewal, there was a special condition included in there. And so that has been discussed throughout the formal hearing process and in the days since. And that special condition had to do with maintaining records of what Coyote Creek Mine would do regarding wind erosion and attendant air pollution. And so these two versions, with a change, I think just removal of one word, one of the versions maintains that special condition, and the other one removes it. And I don't know how much of other issues or small detail things that the two of you might have. I found a few real small technicalities and went through them with Jack that I think need to be changed in here, but not so much significant. But just so that whatever other things we do, we could be on the same version. I think this work session could be most useful if we first decide whether we want to include that special condition. That was special condition number one in the original order. I, at our previous work session, requested that word detailed come out of it, and I didn't really like the thought of even including the special condition. I didn't think it was our jurisdiction, but I didn't feel as sure. And as I've gone through these various versions and read it, and just focus in more on the details of it, I guess I am more on the side of eliminating that special condition altogether. So that's where I'm at on it, and that's, I guess, my opening for it. Work session.
You're talking about the remaining special condition, which is number 4 on the last page.
Number 4, that's a new special condition that they would propose to add. Number 3 on the last page was our original special condition 1.
Okay, correct.
Regarding maintaining records of all measures and methods used on a daily basis. And I think when we decide whether to include that or eliminate it, then we can stay always on the same version.
I think you want to go?
Oh, go ahead.
I agree, Randy, that that's like once we decide that, we can all work on the same same order, and that'll be helpful. I feel that the special condition is appropriate, and I'd like to keep it, the special condition number 1. I think that there's enough in our law and rules that speak to wind erosion and our responsibility there that makes it appropriate to ask the company to document these the measures that they're already taking that are required in our permitting and via the other oversight agency, DEQ. And so I don't see it as real burdensome. That's stuff that they're doing anyway. They testified extensively at the hearing that they don't like to see the erosion. They don't view that as being the, you know, the in accordance with how they want to operate the mine, and they're serious about it. And so I think having those records maintained so that we can look back and see if there is ever another big issue like that, what was being done, I think that's helpful. So I'd like to keep this special condition.
Yeah, I won't disagree that I don't think it would be overly burdensome necessarily. Mm-hmm. But I do think it is a DEQ jurisdiction, and this infringes on their jurisdiction, and I just think that it's just inappropriate that we are doing it.
So help me understand where you feel that it deviates from our responsibility on erosion and in particular wind erosion, because I'm assuming you agree that is under our jurisdiction, the requirements to minimize erosion, and wind erosion is a type of that.
Well, I think our requirements are the document to us that they have controls in place, but what the exact, for some of these things, such as that off-site air quality, that is DEQ. Now, if there
I agree with that.
Can be wind erosion things on site that we're seeing, some sand is blowing into a pile somewhere right there, well, that's on the ground type of an issue. I think if you go to the version that removes Special Condition 1 and Finding the Fact 60, I think it just really says it best.
Well, here's where I'm at on it. I don't believe it's appropriate because when you read through the order, and I'll point out number 47 on the order, and I think it's probably the same whether it's with or without, but we're referring to, or the order refers to, fugitive dust control. And to me, when you're talking about fugitive dust, that is an air quality term measurement. It's not tied to erosion. And the other question I've had, okay, so what type of a metric or metrics do we put in place to say if there are so many parts per million, then it equates to excessive erosion? Do we have that? So if we don't have that, what are we going to even do with it? Just other than to say, okay, there's so many parts per million in the air in terms of dust.
The special condition was just to document what they were doing on a regular basis to control dust.
It's not the dust monitors.
It's not the dust monitors. Not dust monitors. It's none of that. It's just what they were doing with, that day. They watered the Hall Road. They suspended operations because of windy conditions or things like that.
So refresh my memory again. Is there any type of aggregate put on the Hall Roads?
Yeah, there's a surfacing that they, ag gravel scoria.
Okay. So when you drive down a gravel road and you're kicking up dust, mm-hmm. is that erosion?
I would say not.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's the point. What are we tying this back to?
Mm-hmm. This requirement wouldn't have to do with levels. It would have to do with them just recording, like Dean said, we watered the roads, or we put down calcium chloride, or we seeded a topsoil pile or something like that. Yeah, kind of things that I frankly think that it's in their best interest to do in case they get challenged. But I think if they get challenged, it would be a challenge to DEQ's oversight. And so if they need to be told to keep good records, I think it should be DEQ telling them to keep good records.
What are our controls to look at when you're out to look in and determine whether or not erosion is occurring? It's visual inspection, correct?
Visual, certainly. You're seeing deposition, water erosion, dust in the air is, it's coming from somewhere. You need to, find where the source is, whether it's a field blowing, a respread area that's blowing, a stripped area that's blowing. And then, a lot of times what we see is the result of the erosion. I mean, the deposition.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just maybe a little bit of clarification, because the dust issue has been probably the most complicated issue to, mm-hmm. I guess, for me to get my head around. But DEQ regulates fugitive dust. We regulate wind erosion. And so the question at the last work session was, is this truck driving down this Hall Road erosion or is it fugitive dust? And it's fugitive dust. DEQ regulates all the equipment moving. We regulate wind erosion. There's nothing in our rules that talks about fugitive dust other than the definition and another section. Everything in our rules is to take measures to stabilize, protect, to prevent, minimize wind erosion.
So to further clarify, Guy, the truck driving, because this is how I kind of understood it and separated out, the truck driving down the road, that's clearly creates fugitive dust.
Correct.
The dirt blowing off of spoil piles, that's erosion.
Correct.
So the spoil pile issue, that's something that we are concerned with because it does erode the soil that the company's supposed to be saving. And so that's an area where we would have some jurisdiction.
Correct.
And so that's why I feel like it's not complete. We can't completely say this isn't us. This is all DEQ. I feel like we have a portion of it. And to the extent that we do, I feel like this is a pretty modest requirement of the company to keep track of what they're doing to minimize it.
I don't disagree with that. Dust and blowing off of a spoil pile versus off of a roadway as a truck is moving back and forth. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the evidence that was presented showing the fugitive dust was a video of the haul trucks going back and forth. I don't think I saw it, unless was there a video that showed here's a spoil pile and you can see the dust coming out of the spoil pile?
My recollection was the vast majority was dust from haulage. However, there was one, I think, video or photograph regarding the spoil piles or stockpiles with the cattle, which I think that has been subsequently seeded.
I believe
to address that issue. I think there was testimony to that as well.
There's a fair amount of discussion about the spoil pile being located right above their place, though, and that it hadn't been seeded yet, and that there was, I think both the company and you guys and the Voights talked about the erosion coming from that pile. And the pictures of all that dust that had been displaced onto their property, that was, maybe I made the leap, maybe it wasn't direct, but I felt that that was the testimony. She said that that came from the spoil piles.
Actually, I think it came from a topsoil pile.
Oh, it's topsoil pile. I'm sorry.
Don Steffen testified, if my memory is correct, that when he or somebody realized what was going on, that he stopped it.
Yeah.
So that would be fugitive dust, not wind erosion.
Okay. From the topsoil piles?
From the topsoil pile.
Wasn't that hauling back and forth to that topsoil pile, though?
Right. They were putting material on the pile.
Yeah, so that was the haulage, not the actual wind erosion from the pile.
Yeah. That's where it's great.
So this special condition actually requires them to keep these records for the wind erosion and the fugitive dust.
It references that, wind erosion and attendant air pollution.
And that's what I meant to say, sorry.
But the attendant air pollution, and this is my interpretation, I might be wrong, but it's because of erosion. Okay. It's air pollution because of erosion.
Okay. That's the DEQ. Oh.
That's us.
That's us.
There's a lot of our regulations that talk about attendant air pollution because of wind erosion. And that's the way most of our rules read.
That's what the law that we quote here reads. Mm-hmm. Must require the permittee to, at minimum, stabilize and protect all surface areas, spoil piles, et cetera, to effectively control erosion and attendant air and water pollution.
We're at a bit of an impasse, Mr. Chairman, I guess.
You wanted to. You wanted
I don't in? Think it's necessary.
I don't think it's necessary. Well, it just is. Jack, did you indicate that the only other time this was mentioned was, and it doesn't mean that it was right in 2015, but I thought I'd read something in the marked up. The red line version.
I'm not sure you're referring to the commission previously addressing an informal conference. I think we did previously address air quality and dust.
Let me ask, would this be unprecedented? As a special condition?
As a special condition? I don't know, Dean, maybe you can answer that question a little better. I'm not sure if we have done something similar to this in the past. I know we have done special conditions. I don't feel that probably this special condition would be in direct conflict of what's in the air permit, but it does seem to run kind of concurrently with what's included in there or may be included within the air pollution control permit.
Why did you guys add it, Dean?
We have a special condition.
Back in October.
We use special conditions fairly regular. A lot of times when there's federal coal involved and they don't have the lease or mine plan approval, permits are conditioned such that there's no mining of the federal coal until they do have the lease and the mine plan approval. That's probably the most common one. You know, whenever we feel that something hasn't been adequately addressed, we can require a special condition. Usually there's a special condition on that relating to road closures, that they provide the information related to road closures, that they receive approval from the counties and things like that. So.
And how would you guys use this information? Say you, can you think of an example where it might help you in determining if there was a violation or something, if you could see these records or not?
I think, you know, with the informal conference, it, at least for myself, it wasn't entirely clear where the dust, in some instances, in the videos and the photos, was coming from. And whether it was wind erosion or fugitive dust. And I think, you know, digging into it deeper and trying to get a better understanding of it, I think it's that's clear to me, but it wasn't entirely clear where, if we were dealing with wind erosion or dust, and then, you know, what's the company doing? Are they you know, mulching or doing things up on the bench where they may have stripped topsoil and you have dry conditions and subsoil that can blow? What are they doing, if anything? So is a way to figure out what's going on should we get a call.
So if in the future there's claims that there's additional dust and they're saying this is clearly wind erosion, the company's not taking care of it, would it be helpful for you to have the records to look at, or would it be enough to – would you – just go out there and see what was happening and have enough to go on there?
You know, sometimes it's it may be a weekend, it may be after the fact. There'd be some meaningful information from keeping decent records. But, you know, when it comes to wind erosion, you can usually tell this is where there's been deposition and this is where it's been blown. So,
and the company could keep the records on their own, even if it's not required, right? And you'd still be, they'd still be just as legitimate for you to look at.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. That to me seems like a key point, that if we come out and find a violation of something, whether it's erosion or anything else out there, they're going to want to be able to defend it. And so I think they keep a lot of records anyway, and I certainly think it's in their best interest to do this, knowing that there's been, they've got a very close residential neighbor, and they've been under pressure on this. I presume they're going to anyway. It just does concern me that we start laying out all the different records they should keep, and then, you know, is the next revision of a coal mine. Is it just exactly how many times per day they write it down? Or I just don't know where it ends with telling them mm-hmm. how to keep their records.
Yeah, and that's a good point. It's something I've been weighing on a lot of the other issues here in terms of being overly prescriptive. Does it, Jack, from a legal standpoint, does it protect us any if they claim you guys aren't doing your job? Like PSC, it's clearly your jurisdiction, and they make a case for it that they think it is, and they pull out those photos and say this is clearly wind erosion, and those guys ignored it. Does this kind of a condition help strengthen our case and defend our regulatory process?
I would imagine that being able to point, using this as a tool to point the implementation or the absence of any actions taken would be helpful from an evidentiary standpoint. Usually anything additional is helpful if you are trying to find some sort of violation.
Well, I don't know. I think in this case it's pretty clear that there's going to be ongoing efforts to find issues. And so in this, I think it's just makes sense to do it. But Obviously, I'm not going to vote against something if this isn't in there. I just think it's better with it.
And like I said, the previous words, I wouldn't vote against the renewal revision if it is there either. I just think that it's better left out. Have you settled in on a position?
Yeah, I stated mine right away.
Okay. So you'd prefer it not be in there.
Okay.
I kind of went through this with Jack and just found some little very tiny things. Did you want to go through them and be alerted to them? Or?
I had some small things too, Randy, and I don't think mine jumped to the level of needing anybody, you know. So I'm assuming yours don't either.
Okay.
They don't substantively change anything.
I think the only other thing that I think maybe rises to the level of discussion here then is the other new special condition that was not in our previous order in October on adding that proposed road when the next revision is done. And again, just for to keep the cases straight, you know, we're not talking about waiting 5 years for the next renewal. It'll be the next revision, and this is the ninth one on this one, and it's only 5 years old. So they come pretty regularly, so that probably would not be long. It's probably not hard to add it. At the same time, when I look in here at the findings of fact, again, it just seems like the road agreement with Mercer County covers this, and I don't know that it's necessary either.
I like it. I think we should include it. It seems like a simple thing to have it added to the permit in the next revision.
I was reading through, and this is probably more for you, Jack, than anyone else. Well, all five of you can weigh in. Actually, I'd like to hear from each of you. On the road, as I was going through, it seemed a bit contradictory in that it's listed as a potential special condition, and yet throughout the order, the order continues to refer to the road as jurisdictional to Mercer County. Mm-hmm. And yet, so if we're acknowledging that, how does it?
Sure, Commissioner, maybe
Just enlighten me.
Sure. Why don't I have you turn to page 3, finding 7. The voids actually cite most specifically North Dakota Century Code 6905.20907 of what's required in the application, which is describing with appropriate maps and cross-sections and measures that the permit application will take to ensure the interests of the landowners and public are protected. And then if we move down a little bit further to finding 11, the one issue that kind of came up during the hearing was that the post-mining topography and land use map in the permit did not actually have the planned location of the permanent road depicted on it. And so we looked at that, and this is part of an application requirement, not so much of a jurisdictional issue. They're required to provide these things to us. And the absence of that is what the voice I think we're pointing to as a concern. So we did point out, if you look in the second sentence of finding 11, that it is depicted elsewhere, and that came up during the hearing too. So I know staff generally feels, and I'm assuming that the commission feels as well, that they have taken the steps of describing and properly depicting these maps. However, there is a little bit of an open question that they thought, you know, for the next revision, this could just be clarified as part of that next application revision. So it really isn't a matter of a jurisdictional issue. It's a matter of an application requirement to be provided to us. And I think the staff just felt that that was a point that could be clarified
to
benefit everybody.
How does that avoid being a potential problem? And maybe this isn't even realistic, but I worry about it, because the county has not acquired that easement yet from the land department. And, you know, something else develops out there, and now the future road plans for those townships in that area change, and they decide to do something a little bit different. Between the county decides to do something a little bit different.
Sure.
Well, now the mine had filed this plan, and they laid out where this road is going to be, and now between the county and the state, they decide to alter it a little bit.
Sure.
Does that put the mine in a position where they misled people?
It would put the mine in a position where they need to request a revision, is my understanding.
Didn't we talk about it at the last session too, that happens, their perspective and things change in those post-mine land use plans. So it really doesn't obligate them to carry out the plans exactly as they envisioned 20 years before it happens. They're constantly evolving.
And I think it would be depicted on this post-mine land use map as a tentative or proposed route, you know. I think that would give some indication that it would change, and that's why we end up with, you know, 20, 30, 40 revisions to permits, because plans change.
Yeah.
And realistically, there's a handful of maps in all of the permits that get updated on a pretty regular basis. One in particular would be the extended mining plan map, which shows where they're going to mine and when they're going to mine, and pretty much, and they change their mines quite a bit, and it all depends on production requirements and that kind of stuff. But the extended mining plan map, for example, gets updated almost every revision that a company comes in with. So I wouldn't consider this to be a huge burden for them. And it could easily be removed if, like Commissioner Crispin said, there are some changes or something else comes up.
Is there common terminology for that? Are they planned roads or proposed roads, or is there some kind of common terminology for that when there's not real clear certainty of where the road's going to go?
Yeah, all of the maps contain a legend with an index, and we can have them label these roads however we want. Proposed would work just fine.
So should we use that word in here, proposed instead of planned? Or
that's a good point. Is that just semantics, Jack, or? Seems to make sense in terms of...
To me, it seems like semantics, but proposed works, I think, just as well as...
I don't feel like strong. I'm just trying. I just want to make sure that they're not hooked by something later on, because we put something in that they didn't really have control over, and now that's in their revision, and then later on it gets changed on them.
Any change to, you know, what's approved, even though they don't have the easements yet, but any change, they have to go back to the county anyway and get that.
Okay. for my part, in the next 36 hours or whatever it is, we can leave that to legal and the reclamation experts to figure out if that's true.
We're simply noting that in the next revision, show where the road's going to be.
Where it's planned to be.
Proposed.
Or where it might be. I just want to page through here one time and see if there was anything else that I missed.
There's language in here that's highlighted yellow. Is there a reason that's highlighted? Other than it's brilliant.
If I recall, I believe usually when it's highlighted is probably something I was just trying to point out that I wanted staff to follow up and double-check to ensure that it was
accurate
and in compliance with what the law requires.
Is that still questionable, that one, or has that been verified?
I think that was for Mr. Beach.
What's the number? What number is that?
It's 30. Number 30 on the findings of fact. Well, it's actually, 30.
Yep. Yeah, there's. I think it has been added in now, but there's still a few tweaks that we need to make as staff, and I sent my updates to Mr. Hsu, and we just haven't got rid of the track changes yet.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Yep.
Of course, I went through and I started highlighting my copy, so now I don't know if it was from me or from you.
I've got nothing else to add unless staff has questions that we left hanging.
Friday morning plan?
Scheduling issue. I'm available.
I am available until about 8:30. So 8 to 8:30. You want to meet right at 8? Special meeting?
Sure.
Okay.
2 days to spare.
Sounds good.
And staff will work to clean things up and provide you guys a final draft. If you guys have any additional small tweaks or changes, just feel free to come speak with Dean or I.
Okay. Thanks, you guys.
Anything else?
Nope.
Commissioner Christman?
Nope. Okay. Except for, again, thank you guys. This has been a big, big project. I think they've done a phenomenal job. Which doesn't surprise me. It just too often goes unthanked.
No,
Jack and I, first time through this together, and we learned a lot.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. That was important to get that on the record. So
we learned we don't want to do this again.
That we could have done without. We're adjourned.